Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
There we go. Hello. Welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. And oh boy, did wrestling make me cry this week. Not to get too ahead of ourselves, but this week was crazy. It was insane. Oh, by the way, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Collins.
We need to come up with a scripted intro so that way we're always on track. Because I'm always I'm so excited to get into it. I'm like, let's go. And then I'm like, oh yeah, they actually maybe don't know who I am. So we should probably introduce ourselves. But how are you? Did wrestling make you cry this week?
It did. There was a lot of wrestling this week. Between Sunday to Sunday, there was a lot of wrestling. We had All In, which definitely made me cry. Ring of Honor made me cry of sadness and boredom. And Bash in Berlin definitely made me cry because if you didn't know, I really love women's wrestling. So
same. I will say, so my semester started again. For those of you who don't know, I am getting a PhD and I'm in the home stretch where I'm finishing up the last few things before I can go on hiatus and just research and write and finish the dissertation. So I had class Thursday night and I remember I on break checked Twitter and it was you and Kimmy predominantly just being squash match, another one, and I was like, oh. So that's where Ring of Honor is at.
Mm-hmm. It was so bad, and this is the thing, they gave us so much hope during the summertime with these residency and Texas and giving some matches, and I'm like, oh, I wonder how this one will go. And it was just predictable. Nothing was exciting. Mm-hmm. Book ended with an Ishii match, which was, I love Ishii. So, but I don't know. It's September 1st. How the heck did that happen?
I don't know. This year has gone by so fast. I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel just yesterday it was June. And I was preparing
for the summer. And you were preparing.
And then now it's oh, surprise, it's Halloween. That's where I'm at.
Surprise! We have to talk, by the way, off stream, because I think every episode in October, we have to dress up.
Okay.
In a costume. You ready?
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll
chat. And put into the comment section or the live stream or what have you, what do you think that we should be for Halloween? If you send a super chat, by the way, we will read your super chats on air. I know. Super cool.
Let's say hi to some people. Good morning, Clown. Good morning, Love Fro. Excited Space Station. Good morning, Rhea Ripley, to get that belt back. Heck yeah.
That match yesterday. Woof. Woof.
Rhea Ripley, I don't think WWE realizes how much star power she has. Because they, I don't know what it is, but they obviously have faith in her. They put her in the title picture. They, do mm-hmm. cool stuff with her, whatever. But I feel like she should be running everything. She is she is so effortlessly cool, and like she appeals to everybody because she's obviously interesting to look at. She's beautiful, but she's like a fantastic wrestler. And I want to see her everywhere. I want her on the front page of every magazine. I want her like starting every show. I want her to be the star. Thank you to LoveFro for the super chat. Techno Team 2000 for Kate. Oh, I love Kate.
Oh, I love Kate. Kate was throwing all kinds of non-wrestling references last night during the collision.
Kate is, if we keep talking about Kate, then I'm going to like talk about Kate for 30 minutes. So all I'll say is thank you so much for your super chat. And also Kate is my light in my life. Kate is my North Star. I love Kate. But let's get back onto wrestling because listen, we have to get it out of the way. We need to talk about Bryan Danielson. Because the floor is yours.
No, you can go first. I'm just agreeing with you. However, I made the grave error. I made the grave error at like before All In. So by the way, if you didn't know, I made the full Monty. If you hadn't seen my my Twitter, by the way, it's _queerAuntie. I made the full Monty, which is like a proper English breakfast because there was that whole discourse of, you know, Mercedes going to a popular restaurant or whatever to get a full English breakfast. And it wasn't even a full English breakfast. And, you know, it caused Will Ospreay to go, excuse me, that's not a full English breakfast. So I decided to make the full English breakfast from what I remember specifically when I was going to school. I'm not going to share my, you know, whatever, the school that I went to, but, I did 6 weeks in London, which was super great and super awesome. And I would go back again as not a studying student because I could actually tour everything. But anyways,
yeah,
I made the mistake of putting on makeup. And not to mention, I put on mascara and lashes. Because I like to dress up even when I'm at home for pay-per-views and such. And I think it was like mid pay-per-view that I just had to like take off my lashes. Get rid of them. It's fine. But then at Danielson, my eyes were hurting so bad. The next day, I could not open my left eye. And I had to like put like a warm compress because my eyes were just crying so hard because it's Bryan freaking Danielson, the GOAT. And he won the thing that people didn't think that he was going to win because he's like, oh, Birdie said I have to leave wrestling full time. And, you know, I'm not here to get titles or whatever. And that ending, I just think the match was so good. I think Swerve is so good. And the two of them together have insane chemistry. It was very believable until the end. Mm-hmm. And having his family in the ring.
It was so cute. I cried at the beginning because I knew where I was going. But I was like, if Danielson and Swerve, two of the best. And I was like, okay, I'm going to cry. So I might as well start crying. And just like the whole story of the match, Swerve turning into like evil Swerve, who's like invincible. And then yelling at Birdie.
Yeah.
And dancing in her face. I don't like to see a child cry. So I was a little mad, not going to lie, but she recovered fast. That, you know, Claudio grabbed Buddy.
And oh my gosh.
He grabbed Birdie. They brought him to the ring. They sat there. They celebrated. She looked so thrilled. Buddy did not care. All he cared about was confetti. He's like, my dad's the best to ever do it. Of course, he's winning titles. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Where's the confetti? What really made me cry though was Pac standing behind them trying so hard not to smile at Buddy chasing the confetti. I was like, he has a heart. He has a heart.
Uncle Pac. Oh my gosh.
Thank you to Jackie for the super chat. Love you, Jackie. Jackie says, super chat for two of my faves and for the fact that wrestling did in fact make me cry this week. Yes.
If you didn't cry at something this week, I'm going to assume your tear ducts are sewn tightly shut.
They are. Your tear ducts are non-functional.
Yeah.
But the Danielson moment, the match itself, obviously excellent. Of course. Mm-hmm. In ring, it's Danielson and Swerve. They're not going to have a bad match. It was all the stuff outside of that that really sold it for me. And then the post-show with Birdie and her little referee. And then Dave Meltzer trying to gaslight Birdie.
I just love the way that Brian speaks to his child. Because, okay, it's no shock that I have, like, issues with, you know, my own dad. So whenever I see dads with little girls or, like, even their grown adult daughters and being gentle and kind to them, it makes me cry because that's not something that was afforded to me as a mm-hmm. as a child. So when I see him being so gentle with her and being like, she is shy, you know, I'll speak to her the way that he was speaking to her, I just was a mess of tears. Absolutely. But did you hear that in the post show? I think he mentioned that his daughter was crying, but his son was like, yeah.
That is on brand. On brand for Buddy Danielson. We knew what kind of animal he was when mm-hmm. everybody's celebrating his dad. His dad's like ecstatic. And he's like, this is about me and my confetti.
Yeah.
It's about
fair. That confetti was kind of cool though. So
it was. Well, I will say, not to get too far off topic, but next time they're at Wembley or really anywhere, why didn't they sweep up the Okada buff?
They weren't sweeping up anything. The streamers were there forever. The Okada money was there.
They destroyed Wembley Stadium. They put her through hell. And they wanted you to know that.
I mean, Taylor Swift was the next day. So, you know.
A little piece of Okada left behind for the Swifties. Also, when Orange Cassidy came out on like the dome of the stadium, they did his one little thing. Imagine you don't know AEW and you're just outside of Wembley and you see just poof, poof, this one little thing. What is going on in your mind?
Malfunction. Something's going on is wrong.
So much of the show was so good, but when those streamers were still there, I couldn't think about anything else.
It was not like, a great look. Yeah,
it was. And it was they were there for multiple matches. I was like, fix it. Just jump up there and grab them. Fix it.
I'm not jumping up. You're not jumping up.
Do it.
Sting.
Or Satnam Singh. He can probably just grab them. The man's like 15 feet tall.
I love that. Speaking of Sting, he showed up.
He did.
Sobbed.
So excited.
Sobbed. Absolutely sobbed.
I didn't expect it to be him. So if you didn't see the show, Darby Allin and Jack Perry had a coffin match, which was really good. Darby Allin lost. He's in the coffin. The Young Bucks come out. They're pouring gasoline on him. They're going to kill Darby Allin live on pay-per-view. And then Darby is rescued by Sting, which I was not expecting. I didn't think that we were going to see Sting again so soon because he didn't retire that long ago.
Like, right.
It was just a few months. I was not expecting it. Not so sure. It went dark and I was like, oh. And then it was Sting and he looked so good and he was so excited.
Listen, Kylie, I learned how much that he charges for his con experiences. Mm-hmm. And he's done at least 10 cons already. So that man is well into the, you know, almost $500,000.
You know what? He deserves it. Sting deserves the world. That's what every time there's a veteran who, you know, did things, I hate, you know, doing things the right way. I hate that kind of like that language because I don't know. But when there's a veteran who like genuinely cares about young people in the business and wants to help and is like altruistic, and I don't care what they do as a veteran, charge whatever you want for your meet and greets. Absolutely. Do whatever shows you want and life will be good. I think because wrestling, you compared to other jobs, you have to retire kind of young.
Right.
And so get your money.
I know.
Can I also say, not to take us too far off topic, but why is JBL suddenly on a world tour?
Do you know that I'm blocked by JBL?
Are you really?
So he vanity searches himself, if you didn't know. So don't say anything negative about him. And like, even if you don't at him, be very cryptic if you still want him to follow you or have the possibility of following you one day. So this is the deal. During the, what is that show? Dark Side of the Ring or whatever, during the Brawl for All episode.
Yeah.
I said, I think it was something to the effect of like the best thing that came out from the Brawl for All is JBL getting the piss kicked out of him or punched out of him or whatever. Cause it was a shoot fight, mm-hmm. shoot fight. And JBL crumbled like a cookie. And nobody snitch tagged. Nobody did anything. And I don't know why, for some reason, I was looking at his account literally the next day. And I noticed that he blocked me. And it's like, I wasn't blocked a couple days ago.
I'm not blocked. But I can say he tweeted yesterday, I've always wanted to be in the Tokyo Dome. So JBL World Tour is continuing.
Okay, he can buy a ticket. No.
I don't know what, well, I don't know what's going on. He's talking about like he's the keeper of pro wrestling. I don't know. JBL, as far as I'm aware, JBL hasn't done anything in a long time. So he randomly showed up at GCW and I was like, okay, cool. That's like a, you know, a weird quirky GCW kind of thing that they would do, like a little nostalgia pop. And then he kept going. And now I don't know what the end goal is.
TNA. It's too much. It's too much.
But you know what? Hey, when I didn't watch GCW because I don't really watch GCW anymore, but I saw the clip on my Twitter and I was like, that's kind of neat. Like a JBL, what like a random thing to just pull out of your hat. But you know what? What I don't want to see is JBL. And this is probably going to get me blocked. He's probably going to be like searching, but I don't want to see JBL winning any titles. I don't want to see JBL in AEW. I don't want to see JBL in New Japan. Like if he does quirky little indie stuff, that's fine.
I just think that his demographic, right? The people that enjoy him, that buy his whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not us. We are not those girlies. We are Jack Perry girlies. We are Hangman girlies.
Hangman.
That's our cowboy.
Yes. All I really think about JBL is I really do think that something about watching JBL wrestle when I was a child scarred me in some way, because every time I hear JBL, I think of his theme song, and then I think of his limo with the longhorns on it and how much I really despised him as a child, because you know he was a heel and he was a bad guy, and like I just think about all the awful things he did to the people I loved in wrestling. You know, every time I see JBL, I'm like all that trauma comes back to me.
Yeah, it is very traumatic. I mean, it's the same way that I feel about a lot of heel wrestlers that I've heard are like kind of cool dudes like outside of the ring. I can't suspend my disbelief from when I was a kid. I can't just suddenly be a Brock Lesnar, you know, person because how he behaved in the ring in the early 2000s. You know, it's
that's why I have beef with Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett and I, it's a one-sided beef, but one day I'll meet Jeff Jarrett and I'll let him know. It's one-sided, but I have despised Jeff Jarrett since I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
And it's because I wasn't, well, first of all, I was a really big TNA fan.
Same. So, I was about to say TNA.
if you know, you know. If you know, you know. Mm-hmm. And now that he's having like this babyface resurgence, I'm like trying so hard to be there for him. I'm like, yes, get your bag, get your bag. But I'm like, but in 2005, and but what about Kurt Angle? Oh no.
He took his wife.
He took his wife. But I also wanted to say Corey was in the chat. I wanted to say hi to Corey because I love Corey and I want to say hi. But back to wrestling. Oh, and back to Sting. We somehow came full circle back to Sting. I was excited to see Sting because, like I said, I didn't think that he was going to be back. This I expect him to be make an appearance at some point, but he's back kind of soon.
Sure.
And I will say I thought the coffin match was really, really great. And I am a big Jack Perry fan. And I'm not going to lie, guys. I've really enjoyed the EVPs. I know that's controversial, and I really enjoyed Okada, who was great in his match, by the way. So every time I go on Twitter, people are talking about how much they hate the EVPs and how much they hate the Elite. And I'm like, oh, okay. Couldn't it be me? I love them. But that was probably one of my favorite matches, the coffin match on the All-In card. I think it's Danielson, obviously. And then I really enjoyed Toni Storm and Mariah May.
Another moment of crying. But also, Mariah May slapped her own mother.
Right?
And
she
I...
She her inner child.
I... Yeah. Raise your hand if you've ever wanted to slap your mother.
I... When she, okay, so I knew.
I was waiting.
So I knew it was her mother because they said it when she came in. But people who are watching the show with me, they had missed that part because they had gone to grab snacks. They thought that she slapped some random lady.
Oh.
And I was like, that probably even would have been better. Have her start slapping fans.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I would love that.
But that match was so good. It was... The women's division in AEW is, with the exception of one match on the All-In card that I don't want to talk about, it's really cooking. It's really cooking.
It is. It makes me excited for All Out because it's going to be the match that we should have seen. But also we're getting Willow versus Chris Statlander.
I know. So Willow versus Chris has been like such an interesting story to me because they had been baby faces like on the same side for a really, really long time, even if they weren't like directly on screen friends.
Right.
And heel Chris Statlander is one of my favorite things in AW right now. I think a lot of people would agree. So this match, because like Willow is so bright and bubbly and like bubblegum, and the antithesis of this Chris Statlander dark character, evil, maniacal, self-serving, all that stuff. So this match is going to slap. It's going to be so good. The TBS title match, Mercedes Moné versus Cheetah, which should have been an All-In, but it's going to slap regardless. It's going to be, and listen, I'm so, so, so excited for that match because when Mercedes first came in, I don't know if people in the chat remember, but me and you were talking about like what we want to see her do. And Cheetah was like at the top of both.
The top. Lists. Yeah.
Because Cheetah is, first, she didn't get a good match out of anybody, but you give Cheetah a really great opponent, and she puts on classics. So this match is going to be stellar. It is going to be, I think it's going to be match of the night. I mean, the steel cage match, which we'll get to, that might steal my heart. That might steal my heart. I don't know. I don't know. It might steal my heart. But in terms of women's wrestling and AEW, the star power in the division right now is incredible,
insurmountable, indescribable. My heart cannot take it. Speaking of Willow and Chris Statlander, because I'm just thinking back to their street fight, right?
Yeah.
And how bloody and intense everything was. A lot of criticism for Willow, who I think, okay, a powerbomb through a table that, right? Is a powerbomb through a table for Anna Jay and, you know, knocked her a little bit silly. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I think that Willow's level of wrestling has only exponentially gone up. I think that her star power has gone up. I think that she is going to be a champ, like, you know, women's, I want to say she would be a great world heavyweight champion, but we don't flow that way, I guess, in AEW. But give her all the title belts. Willow yeah. is the future. But when I see Chris Statlander, she is now. She is now. And I think that her against Mariah May in the future.
Yeah.
Her against Jamie Hayter.
Jamie Hayter's back.
Jamie Hayter is back. What did you think of her her gear?
I loved it. I love that she came back with a new look that felt fresh. She dyed her hair. She had a new style of gear. She looked healthy, happy, strong, all mm-hmm. those sort of things. And I'm excited to see. I'm not excited about the Saraya stuff happening right now. I think it's bottom of the barrel sewer sludge level wrestling stories. But once Jamie gets past the Saraya thing, I'm excited to see what they do with her. Because, like, I think both women's titles, both champions, would be good opponents for her. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like putting her into a non-title feud and letting her sort of get back into the flow of things and, you know, get her more exposure to fans and work her way back up. I think we could get some really great matches out of her, because Mariah May as world champion, when she faces Jamie, when Jamie wrestles for the world title, I mean, I would like to see Jamie win the world title.
Absolutely.
So I'm not really a big fan of having multiple stories going on, because like Hangman is kind of in the same boat where you challenge for the world title and you're like constantly losing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's time and place. I think AW sometimes when it comes to wrestling stories, they pull that one out way too much. So slow it down. Anna Jay is coming back. Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter and some kind of story would be good.
I'm so proud of her. Just seeing the excitement for wrestling and her doing all the Joshi yeah. run and all those matches is just absolutely yeah. perfect.
And I think if Anna Jay comes back to AW and she says, I wrestled in Japan, I learned a lot, I'm better than I ever was before, I'm gunning for the top spot, and to get there, I'm going to take down Jamie Hayter, who's just returning, the beloved fan favorite. I'm going to prove to everybody that I'm the best, blah, blah, blah. Then we could have that feud, and I think it'd be really great.
Right.
Something along those lines, because I think Shida is on the cusp of a big character turn. And I don't know where they're going to go with her. I think Mercedes Moné is obviously still killing it. I think our new world champion, she's obviously killing it. And so I don't want any of their momentum to slow. But I think Jamie Hayter needs to be in something, in a story that somehow guides her towards the world title. Like, she's something that to keep her in fans' minds. I'm just excited that we're sitting here talking about the AW women's division and we have no shortage of mashups that we want to see. Because for Absolutely. Years, it was not that way.
Right.
It was not that way.
That and was,
yeah.
I mean, that was one of the largest criticisms that we had of AW at the end of 2022. Are you laughing at my dogs? Sorry, I got distracted by the chat. Remember, chat, if you want your comment or chat read on the screen, feel free. $1, $2, whatever you want. Super chat. Remember, you can always like this video. You know, the little thumbs up. You can like us. If you don't like us, don't tell me because I will cry. But I think that AEW was in a kind of a dangerous spot at the end of 2022. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of injuries. There were a lot of spots that didn't seem important. It seemed very stale. And I'm not saying it had anything to do with DMD or Thunder Rosa. I'm sorry, my voice is going, apparently. But just knowing that there is so much fresh talent and veterans interwoven into it, that it's not like, oh, that's a green wrestler, so they can't have a good match, because we're seeing newer wrestlers like Sky Blue, like Julia Hart, have these incredible matches. Willow is having an incredible time. Anna Jay had an incredible time over in Japan, and now we're gonna see exactly what she learned. And from what she said, that it was the hardest thing that she's ever done, and she's excited to bring it back to the United States. But the fact that there are so many wrestling matches that we could book, and there are still leftovers to have during the week on Collision, on Rampage, on Dynamite, like on Ring of Honor, even though sometimes I'm a little bit upset at Ring of Honor. I don't know. It makes me excited, and it's not like, oh, this is secondary to what's going on in the men's division. No, this feels same tier. It doesn't feel like an afterthought or, you know, what people would call a piss break, because that's reserved for Chris Jericho.
Period.
Cheers.
But another thing I will say is, you know, myself and other people, for a long time, our criticism of the women's division was that it felt like everybody was kind of like on the same level. That there was no clear, like, these are our, like, main event stars, your mid card or lower card, whatever. And it feels like that's kind of shifting, where we have, like, a clear hierarchy in the division, and people are able to move their way up and move their way down, and it feels, like, natural and organic. And so I'm really excited about that. And I'm also really excited that it feels like the community, the AEW fans, I'm excited that they seem excited about it, that everything isn't just a piss break match, that they do want to see Chris Statlander and Willow tear the house down. And they do want to see Sheeta and Mercedes Moné. And they want to see all these things. and that they want to see all these things, and they are excited about the stories, and not just like these matches are an obligatory women's match because you need one women's match on the card or something along those lines. So that's what I'm excited about. It feels like the perception of the women's division from the fans' perspective is also shifting, which that's half the battle at the end of the day, is getting fans to buy into what you're selling. And I'm just so excited. This run of pay-per-views to the end of the year, I expect like AEW to pull out every major match they have, just go, you know, pedal to the metal, except for Chris Jericho, because when they announced that multi-man match for Dynamite, and Tony Khan replied to him, was like, guys, trust me, please. I was like, no, trust us, please. And trust us when we say we don't want it.
We don't want this.
And people always say, like, if I post a tweet that's critical of Chris Jericho, people will say, oh, well, Chris Jericho sells all this merch. He's like a top merch seller, whatever. And I'm like, that's because all his fans are a certain demographic that has the money to buy every shirt. I don't think, if you surveyed every AEW fan, I don't think a majority would say that they enjoyed Chris Jericho versus Hook.
I liked the ending of that match.
Okay.
Because we got to see Taz.
Yeah.
He looks good. I mean, rear naked choke, right? That's the the whatever cross face that he does, whatever. I'm not a choke specialist. I just know, hey, that looks cool. And I liked it. And seeing Taz get up from the commentary desk to choke out, unsuspecting Brian Keith popped me. That was my biggest pop. We didn't need Fozzie there again. No, it went on a little bit too long. So I'm just kind of tired of the storyline. Even though the learning tree stuff, it made me laugh. It made me laugh. And I was optimistic because I think that Chris Jericho is the master of reinventing himself. Obviously, he reinvents himself and then gets 5 t-shirts. He's great at the charismatic part of it. I just think that I don't care about his matches anymore. And that sucks because I was a Chris Jericho girly for a better part of my, 20s. But I don't know. It's that nostalgia. It's the guys who keep going on the cruise, which nothing sounds worse to me than going on a cruise with people who think that deodorant is optional.
Yeah.
Remember to wash your ass and use deodorant.
Period. And I think for me, like the Chris Jericho thing is like objectively his in-ring stuff isn't as good anymore. He's getting older. It's not his fault. I don't want it to sound like I'm trashing him or anything, but
that's okay.
I think like because AEW has cultivated this strong roster where, and this like idea that the in-ring wrestling, having great matches every time you're like, there's pressure on you is important. I think because of that, Chris Jericho stands out as a lot worse in comparison. And it's really, really hard to have like a character and a story and promos and stuff that are good enough to make up for having, mid to, bad in-ring wrestling because it's AEW and that's just how it is. So I don't know. I don't know where they take Chris Jericho from here. I think that like just looking at the All Out card, like I think it's clear that he just doesn't fit.
Sure.
So, like, just to run it down for everybody, so far we have the world title matches, Bryan Danielson versus Jack Perry, international championship, Will Ospreay versus Pac, TBS championship, Mercedes Moné versus Hikaru Shida, a steel cage match, Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Page, which is going to be absolutely stellar. We have CMLL Women's Championship, Chicago Street Fight, Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander, and we have Daniel Garcia versus MJF. Which is going to be another secret banger.
I'm really starting to get FOMO. Like, I was having FOMO of people being in London because, like, I don't know. Wembley Stadium just sounds so cool. And whatever, international stuff. Even the Bash in Berlin, the stuff that they were doing. In the pre-show that they were showing The Miz going through all the markets and stuff, that's always so cool. I love international travel, but I've been to Chicago multiple times. I've been there for All Out multiple times. I'm getting FOMO this year. I didn't have it as much last year, but I really feel like I'm missing out this year because these are all matches that I fantasy booked at the beginning of the year that I wanted to see in some capacity, whatever stipulation. The fact that there's going to be a steel cage match,
it's going to be so good. Hangman versus Swerve Strickland, I think, is one of those feuds that like 10 years from now, we're going to talk about, at this, because I think it's undeniable at this point that we're on the upswing with wrestling. We're reaching, in terms of viewership and money and all that kind of stuff. I think this is a feud that we're going to talk about as one of the reasons why wrestling has had such a large upswing. And I think the steel cage match, because I don't know how you top the death match that they had, the Texas death match, because you had Hangman literally drinking
it out. I do have to say, I opened up my bartender's book the other day. Mm-hmm. Just because I was looking for drinks for All Out to figure out how I can batch things or whatever. And I saw that there was a drink in my bartender's book that's called Hangman's Blood.
What's in it?
It's like a stout beer and champagne plus whiskey and brandy and gin and rum. Which it just sounds like I'm gonna get drunk. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I might make a modified version of it just so that we're not all like giggly and you know whatever, but it's supposed to be layered to make the color of blood.
Oh my god. That is crazy.
That is so crazy. This book was printed in 2010, so 2011. Is when I bought it, so
it's predicting the future. You need to look at all the recipes in there. Design
the meaning for us. All right, I'll grab it
because that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Hey, and obviously Hangman is going to bleed in this match because he's mm-hmm. Hangman, and that's what he does.
He is unhinged right now. Like
I love it.
So you know what I love is that. I mean, you and I have similar like curl textures. I don't know what's going on with my hair right now, but. Hangman also has the same like hair texture and like, you know, the pattern or whatever. His hair, I just feel like gets even more and more unhinged and like crazed that I'm like, that man has been like temperature wise getting hot and cold because you see like the ringlets towards the scalp, which is like, oh, you're sweating a lot. And like the ends are like frazzled. So it's like, oh, you look deranged. You also mm-hmm. look like you have not slept. Are we in for a murder? I don't know.
Yes. Somebody's going to die, and it might be me. I just love
that. We are all passing away.
Yeah, we have to retire the show because I'm just dead.
Yeah.
I love like Hangman is unhinged and he's deranged, but also Swerve is as well.
Like, I know.
Even before Swerve lost the title, he was spiraling, and it's because Hangman was there, like looming, and he was lurking. Mm-hmm. And so, I fully expect this match to be just like next level disgusting. Because like, if you think about the bloodiest matches in AEW. Like the obvious, like Cody and Dustin,
yeah,
obvious choice. And we've had like obviously people like Moxley and Punk and MJF, like people who love like the visual of blood. But yeah. I think just thinking back to the Texas Death Match, the way that they bled in that match and the way that the like weapons were used and like the whole thing, it was so next level compared to those. I think
I can't get over the cement block because yes. I don't know how you like I can understand how you could kind of gimmick that and like the way that you press it and whatever mm-hmm. and that still looked like it freaking hurt, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
all of wrestling hurts, but like in the capacity of I don't know how you can gimmick this to where oh it didn't hurt that bad and you're yeah. they're gonna do something worse in this steel cage match, so.
Which I'm excited because I think Hangman has proven that he's willing to go to the next level just for funsies, to be honest. Like, nobody said that in the death match that Hangman had to drink Swerve's blood. Like, and there really wasn't, there wasn't really like a storyline purpose for that. He just said, you know what, I'm gonna drink his blood. He held his head and he drank his blood, and you know what, I loved it. It's cool if you didn't love it. I understand that. It's I loved it, I was obsessed with it. I'm still obsessed with it. And so in this match, I think now also Swerve is kind of like up there with the same level of insane, where he's thinking about it as much as an I need to kill Hangman as he is. Because I feel like in the death match, it was very much, I need to beat Hangman. But I also think in Swerve's mind, he's like, oh, I'm going for the world title. And Hangman is very much like, I'm going to kill you. And now I think they're both in the space where it's like even escalated. Like, I need to wipe you off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Like, God-level hatred. And so
to say Ocean Gate, disintegrate.
That's the case collapses, maybe. I don't know. But I'm excited. I fully expect blood and violence and all those kind of things. But I also think that it's going to be so unsettling for fans that I just know I'm going to love it. It's going to be my match of the night. Because wrestling, the point is to evoke emotion, right? So, like, really happy, like Bryan Danielson. You can be really mad, like Chris Jericho. You can be disgusted, like Saraya. Like, all these different things. But I think wrestling has kind of, in the 2000s, lost the ability to make fans feel, like, really disturbed. Because people are like, oh, it's fake, whatever. Which... that never stops me, but I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, it was gimmicked, and they go out of their way to figure out why something was gimmicked.
Yeah.
But I think for me, AEW, especially Hangman and Swerve, have kind of brought back the art of making people disturbed and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is where matches like this really shine. Because if you look at the card, right, Will Ospreay versus Pac, that's a match that's going to make you over the moon excited and afraid because, hello, Mercedes and Sheeta. Like, obviously there's sort of a standard, like, babyface heel dynamic. Willow and Chris, it's a street fight, but I think, obviously, you're going to be really, really excited for Willow. So, like, standard wrestling storytelling, and I think the beauty of Hangman and Swerve is that you go into it knowing that they hate each other, that it's going to be violent, that you have to, like, prepare yourself for that. And I think that in itself is really uncomfortable, the anticipation of it. And then obviously the match itself, the blood drinking, the, you know, whatever weapons they decide to bring in, you know, whatever, it's a steel cage. I think being disturbed and like anticipating the end of the match, but not wanting the match to end because you're enjoying yourself and you're kind of disturbed that you're enjoying yourself. I think that's where these matches kind of shine. And like, obviously it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I get that. But the point is that you're disturbed and disgusted. The point, that's like why the match is there.
I think... I mean, really suspending your disbelief that, you know, yeah, this is predetermined, but it does hurt. And there aren't many matches that have left me personally disgusted, other than a lot of stuff in the WWF that was kind of, you know, kind of crossed the line, kind of, you know, went a little bit. I think the last time I remember, besides for Hangman and Swerve's street fight, was Cody wrestling with his freaking torn pec.
Yeah.
And that Hell in a Cell. I'll never forget about that because it was just like, there's no way to gimmick that. There's no, like, it wasn't faked. And we all knew that. And we all saw how it just got more purple throughout the match. I'm not wishing harm to them. And I understand that putting their bodies on the line for our own entertainment is something that we should appreciate. I just want to know how they're going to top whatever they did last time without actually murdering themselves, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm not that creative as these people are, as wrestlers are, when it comes to...
That's why they're doing it. Not us.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it. But they'll come up with something. And what I'm most excited for is the end result. Cause like, regardless of who wins, there's going to be like a pretty significant shift in like the main event scene of AEW. And also within like these two individuals, the characters that they're embodying. Cause like Swerve is fresh off a loss, losing his world title to Danielson. And Hangman has been part of the Elite and like the EVPs. But like openly antagonistic of them, and especially Okada, and like they're openly antagonistic to Hangman. So it's like a weird situation that he's found himself in. So like, where does he go from there? Does he go for Okada, whatever? And I think a lot of it hinges on if / when Kenny Omega comes back, because I have no information on when Kenny Omega's coming back. I don't think anybody but Kenny Omega has that information, but there are multiple people in AEW that have, while in Omega's absence, built stories towards Omega. So I think a lot of what we're talking about really does hinge on that. Because I think even Danielson, like, hinges on that. I mean, Osprey, Okada, Hangman, Swerve. Like, so we have a long road to travel, but I think Hangman, Swerve, I think them coming back to the blood feud really, and I don't think this lays it to bed. I think these two are going to carry this feud to the rest of their career, to their retirement, post-retirement, because this is a feud that like defines you as a wrestler, right?
Sure.
But I think this chapter, how we end, like what cliffhanger we end on, will be very, very telling for AEW. And that's what I'm excited for, because I could see it going either way, to be honest. Like, I hear people's reasonings for either way, and I fully buy into either. So I love when wrestling's like that, though.
Absolutely. So we do have 6 matches for All Out. I assume it'll fill out a little bit more. What is another match that you would like to see at All Out?
Okay. I would like to see Jamie Hayter versus Saraya, but only if Saraya loses in 5 seconds. I would love to see. Imagine they come out, Saraya, like she has a big entrance, she's so full of herself, like whatever. But Jamie comes out, she's just Jamie. That's enough, obviously. She's Jamie, she's a star. The bell rings, she, you know, gives her a big boot, gives her something. Maybe she debuts a new finisher. I don't know. And beats Saraya in 5 seconds. Because I think that's a big win for Jamie. Like, decisive. I'm here. I'm ready to go. And yeah. I think also for Saraya, this whole character she's doing is bad. Nobody likes it. And I think you can get rid of Saraya. You can write her off that way. And it'll be good. That's what I want. Because I don't want to see... I fully expect Jamie Hayter versus Saraya is going to be on like the pre-show or something. I don't know. Because they've been building it since All In. But I don't want to see personally those two have a long match, because I don't think Saraya in ring can give Jamie what she needs for her first match back. I think Jamie needs, if she's going to have a long match, I think Jamie needs a more dynamic opponent in the ring. Because I think Saraya... Personal feelings about Saraya aside, I think in the ring, she's not as good as Jamie is. And I think Jamie needs someone more on her level. And I also think Saraya, if you write her off this way, you have a reason for Harley Cameron to sort of bounce back from it. Almost like the reverse of the Toni Storm Mariah May story, where Mariah May screws Toni over and all that kind of stuff. You can make Harley Cameron like more vengeful in that way. So
I have really enjoyed, as much as I don't like Harley Cameron and her really bad hair extensions, I absolutely have loved this character work. I love how she's integrated herself into Ring of Honor, which I think would be a good segue for her after that feud. I would also like to see that. I think that my opinions about Saraya have been detailed on my Twitter. I have both her and her boyfriend blocked on my social media because I know that she vanity searches. And, you know, I can't speak for everybody here, but I know that a majority of people who work for Fightful and Fightful Overbooked believe that trans people are valid and we should not tolerate it, especially when there are people backstage that are non-binary and also trans, and we have to create a safer space for people, and making it your gimmick, whether in kayfabe or not, is not the way to do it. She does tweet a lot, and I'm not for her. So any chance that we can see her be squashed, A-okay, do it, ring the bell, 5 seconds, here we go. What do you think of the Grizzled Young Veterans showing up?
I'm excited. I was so excited to see them. I think Grizzled Young Vets versus Young Bucks has been an anticipated match for a long time, even before they were in AEW. It kind of like It's kind of like FTR Young Bucks before FTR was in AW. People were, you know, fantasy booking this matchup and thinking about it. And then FTR came and, you know, obviously now we're like 500 matches into the thought of FTR versus Young Bucks.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds me of that dynamic where they come in and people aren't sure really what to make of them because, you know, it's a new environment. And I think their match, if they have it all out, or I don't know, they haven't booked it yet, but I'm presuming it'll be an all out. I think it's going to be a banger.
You think it's going to be against the Young Bucks, or do you think it's going to be FTR?
I think it should be Young Bucks because I think, one, you need Young Bucks on the card because Chicago. Obvious.
Yeah.
Chicago. And I think for me personally, the Young Bucks match, I anticipate more than the FTR match. Mm-hmm. But that being said, Grizzly Young Vets FTR, that's also like a banger of a match. That's top tier. I think FTR is at a point in their career where you could give them any opponent and people are going to be excited to see the match.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Young Bucks. But I also recognize, you know, FTR is fresh off of, you know, Dax's whatever it was that he had, hematoma or
whatever that bruise thing.
I don't remember what he
was worse than.
Yeah.
Insane.
And so maybe you do a three-way. I don't know.
Back-to-back three-ways
would be crazy. But if it keeps me from having FTR versus the Acclaimed, I'm into it.
Yeah. I feel the same.
What do you think about Daniel Garcia versus MJF?
I have a lot of feelings about Daniel Garcia that are between me and my maker alone.
Me and my maker.
Honestly, I think MJF is going to lose. That there really is no other option. Yeah. Because, yeah, you lost your American title. That's actually not an American title. Sorry, this is where my brain is going. Somebody posted online that it was like, here are the 8 champions that have been in AEW for the main title. List them in order, right?
Yeah.
And I put MJF towards the bottom.
Yeah.
And I had multiple people reply and message me, and they were like, hey, is there a reason why MJF is so towards the bottom? I can't explain it. He's not for me. He can be for you. His matches could be for you, but I just think in caliber of things that I've been excited about, there's nothing that MJF has done other than what he did with Adam Cole that excites me. But I think I liked that because it's Adam Cole. I just really need Daniel Garcia to win. I think that MJF doesn't, you know, lose anything if he loses.
Yeah.
But I want to see a winning Daniel Garcia now that he's back, now that he's re-signed and hopefully getting more than he's worth, because that apparently was a topic of conversation this week of, you know, paying people, you know, above market value. Nobody decides what the market value is. We literally decide what the market value is.
Yeah.
What is your return on investment? What are you worth? And how do you sell yourself? And how do you see yourself in the time and space that the contract is worth? And I think every wrestler is worth more than they're actually doing, because they're literally putting their bodies out there.
Yeah.
They are literally risking their lives to entertain us. So I think that they are worth far more than what anyone would say is market value.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not just puppets, you know. That's the thing. It's like, this isn't just a show that you, you know, use your little marionette strings. These are actually real people doing a real job. And I want to see Daniel Garcia win the TNT title. I think that would be a really good match between him and Jack Perry, although I don't want to see Jack Perry lose it anytime soon, but building to that and having that kind of feud.
Yeah.
Love that.
I, I think Daniel Garcia and Hook are kind of in the same place where fans like them, but they haven't really been given the opportunity to like go to the next level. Because yeah. Hook is obviously stuck in the Jericho Vortex mm-hmm. and has been. And Daniel Garcia, he kind of like, he gets going and then he stutters to a stop. And he gets going and he stutters to a stop. And like part of that is also the Jericho Vortex. And part of that is like not being on TV. So I think Daniel Garcia wins this. I expect it to be a good match. I expect MJF to come into it totally like, oh, Daniel Garcia is nothing. This could be an easy win for me. Mm-hmm. And I expect Daniel Garcia to be sneaky and get some strikes in and really scare MJF and like so on. I expect Daniel Garcia to win because I think MJF, there's more value for MJF in losing this because we're on the decline of the American Championship. He is without Adam Cole, so he, you know, doesn't have like the backup that he did. And so I think MJF Adam Cole, that if they do that when Adam Cole is ready, MJF being on like a losing side, I think, and the returning mm-hmm. Adam Cole, and I think that's more interesting. But mm-hmm. in terms of Daniel Garcia, I think Daniel Garcia has like limitless potential. And I think AEW has, for whatever reasons, I don't want to speculate, sort of mismanaged him mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. So I think Daniel Garcia deserves to beat MJF. And I don't know if you like gone straight for the TNT title or if you put him in a feud with someone else to like get him another win. I personally, and I tweeted this and people like lost their minds, I think that AEW doesn't take enough risks. I don't think that they, because like when AEW first started, they really put all their money behind certain people and it paid off. Mm-hmm. And they did things like they put them in the title picture like really quickly and they did risky matchups and they, you know, trusted people to get over and to win and all those kind of things. I think they need to do that for Daniel Garcia because I think people get excited to see Daniel Garcia. I think he is an excellent wrestler. I think he, even now, I don't think we've been able to see like all that he's capable of. And I want to see that. And so I don't know if you put him straight to the TNT title picture. I don't know if he guns for someone else. I do think he needs to be for an AEW title. No Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Put her away. I think he needs to gun for, love you, Ring of Honor, put her away. I think he needs to gun for an AEW title.
Tell us how you really feel.
I just hate that for so many AEW people, mm-hmm. Ring of Honor titles are used to like, because it's bad for Ring of Honor, it's bad for AEW, that these titles are used to like keep people kind of relevant and like keep them in place.
Mm-hmm.
When they, like, Ring of Honor's not getting anything from it and the talent aren't getting anything from it, then it's pointless.
Yeah.
I think Garcia, I don't know, maybe, I don't know who you give him after MJF, but I think he needs to be MJF. Ospreay Pack, banger. Chef's kiss, so excited.
I don't care who the winner of that match is. I just know that they're both going to serve. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be a banger. It's going to, like, we know the outcome is going to be Will retains, and, you know, we know that, you know, it's going to be a great match, and we know that, you know, both wrestlers are going to get their ish in, you know, whatever.
We haven't even talked about the fact that Ricochet is here.
Oh, my God.
I'm just supposed to show you how crazy this week has been.
Okay, so if you have Ricochet in All Out, who do you want him to wrestle against? Lee Rush?
Literally anybody.
Darius Martin?
Like, there's so many. Or Dante. You could put him with someone like like Claudio or someone who's like super strong and can throw him, you know, because just launch him just absolutely into the next like 6 rows down. It's like, oh yeah, Hologram is a good shout, Mike. But I also think Ricochet, he wrestles and like looks like he was born to be an AEW. Like he screams AEW. He always has. And like I was always confused about why he was in WWE and they weren't doing anything with him. And like AEW feels like a natural home for him. So I don't do whatever you want with him. You put him in the ring with anybody and he's going to have a good match because Ricochet, like, he's going to show out. He's going to be, I'm Ricochet. And this is why, even though I was in WWE and they didn't like me and they didn't, you know, push me as I should have been, this is why everybody loved me when I was on the indies.
Right.
And he's going to come back and he's going to be white hot immediately.
I mean, eventually we're going to build to him versus Will Ospreay. And that match is going to hump, as Sean Ross Sapp would say. It's going to hump.
Yeah.
Right?
I think both Will Ospreay and Ricochet have come very far from where they were when they first wrestled. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see Ricochet versus anybody.
Yeah.
The AEW roster is so, like, secretly stacked that even the people who you don't see on TV all the time, they're still excellent wrestlers. And so Ricochet, listen, anybody, he can have his pick of the litter. Give him one. Let him decide, and it'll be a banger. I'm just really excited because Ricochet, like I said, he really does feel like he should have been in AEW this whole time. Like, this is the environment that he really thrives in. So I'm really excited. I think there's a lot of wrestlers who would love to wrestle Ricochet or someone like Ricochet and have that banger of a match. Because he's another one where, you know, he can get a good match out of anybody. But if you're a good opponent, you're going to have an excellent match. And Dave Meltzer's going to talk about it for the next 5 years. Like, that's just how Ricochet will operate the same way. So maybe you do Daniel Garcia versus Ricochet on like a Dynamite just for funsies.
Okay, but who do you think would be better at dancing, Ricochet or Daniel Garcia?
Daniel Garcia.
Did you see Mina doing the Daniel Garcia dance?
Yes.
That.
Also, we didn't even talk about Christian Cage.
Oh my God. Do you love that he won?
I kind of do.
And I know that
maybe that's a little controversial because I know people were like, they were really excited for the gauntlet and they thought the finish was kind of crazy and like, I think it's controversial to say that they liked it. But I will say, I think that the story of the patriarchy with like, you know, his favorite son, Nick Wayne, and his like ugly stepkid, Kill Switch, like the ugly one. I think that I really enjoyed
the
it.
The ugly
I have.
One.
And is so
Teen Girl Squad. Do you know what Teen Girl Squad is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Teen Girl Squad. Cheerleader.
Also, when he came out, he came out as Luchasaurus.
Right, in the Casino Gauntlet match, yeah. His music was back. He came back out as Luchasaurus, not Kill Switch. They're gonna feud him and Christian Cage, and we just want Luchasaurus to turn on Christian Cage.
It's gonna happen. I don't know like how it'll play out or what the story will be, but so like Christian Cage wins the gauntlet. He has the world title. It is just world title, right? Yeah, it's just world title shot. Yeah. So I'm presuming that he's going to challenge at some point and Luchasaurus is going to like intervene and put a stop to it. Or maybe Christian Cage wins and Luchasaurus is his first challenger. I don't know. But I think we're building. I'm so excited because I love Luchasaurus, which I don't think is a controversial opinion, but maybe it is. But I've always loved Christian Cage ever since I was little. Always been one of my favorite wrestlers. And so that match to me is a dream match. And I know that that sounds silly, but that's how I feel. So don't judge me for my feelings. And I think the gauntlet match itself was so fun. Such a fun match. So many like little spots, so many funny moments. It was just really good. And so I was not mad at the outcome. I know other people were, but not me. I'm a Christian Cage girly.
I know, same.
Not me.
I loved it. I mean, that was a thing of who was going to win. We heard rumblings, you know, that that Ricochet had signed. Fightful confirmed it, and then it came to fruition. We saw a returning Nigel McGuinness, which, if we don't do some sort of match on Dynamite or Collision with him versus Brian, what the hell are we doing? I love that Orange Cassidy started first in the Gauntlet match. Absolutely slayed. Mr. Bean reference of his intro, which was so good. And I truly thought that Hangman was going to win because I knew that he was going to come out during the main event, which I thought was perfect of how he did come out because it was so he came out and then it was just separated, but distracted swerve enough for him to lose. Perfection, absolute perfection. There were so many other people in that Gauntlet match that I can't think of without looking at my phone. But yeah, Christian Cage. Do you think that he'll go after Brian? Do you think he'll just haunt whoever has the championship until
I think that he's going to be like a little snake about it. I think he's going to lurk in the shadows and tease that he's going to, you know, cash in his contract, or he's going to, I guess we can use the Money in the Bank lingo for this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's going to like, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm going for it. And be like, psych, you thought. And I think that it's going to be mind games, which is where Christian Cage really excels. Is like the I'm a psycho stories.
So I mean, we're in a turtleneck during the summer is psychotic behavior. Somebody posted recently that they would watch the world burn if the main event of Wrestle Dream was Swerve versus Danielson again. And then Danielson wins, but then Christian Cage comes out and takes the world championship.
You know what would be crazy? Imagine it's Swerve versus Danielson and Swerve wins and then Christian Cage comes out. Yikes.
Yikes. So not only...
That'd be so depressing.
In Washington State, in that makes me... That actually makes me sad because then Swerve and Danielson and both lose. We have a retirement at Wrestle Dream and Swerve lost in his hometown. You like chaos, don't you?
I do. I love it when it's chaos. I love when weird things happen. And I love when, and because I just, the world is burning and I'm just sitting there. Like, I thrive in chaos. I really do. Like, when my life is super boring, I'm mentally ill. When my life is chaos, I'm on it. I'm thriving. I'm firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. And, I mean, we know that Brian, when he does lose, he is going to go out on his back. He does like to put other guys over. He thinks the world of Darby Allin, so I think if we have a program that gets Darby Allin to the world championship, that would be stellar. I'd enjoy that. I know that that's going to come at Grand Slam, that Darby's getting his match at Grand Slam. So does Brian lose at Grand Slam?
I don't think so.
I as someone who is going to be at Wrestle Dream and working the show as media, I don't want my first media to be me crying in the press room. I don't want my first time working a show and I'm just sobbing.
And I think for me, I don't think Darby's going to win simply because I think they haven't done enough with the story. So Darby, his first match, you know, his first big match against Jack Perry after Sting retired. And he's like gunning for titles. He's like, but he's like constantly failing, right? And then Sting has to save him, all this kind of stuff. And I think for me, at least, I would love them to do a longer story of Darby learning how to win without Sting, like learning how to win on his own, like figuring out who he is, all that kind of stuff. So I think Darby losing, not getting the world title, and then bouncing back, and we can, you know, tell that story, and then he can win it whenever. There's like 50 pay-per-views to the end of the year. It's crazy. I think there's more there for Darby Allin in that. And I think Danielson Swerve, which I'm presuming is going to be the Wrestle Dream match. I want to see the match again. Second of all, I think that match brings a little bit more than it would if it was Darby as world champion, which I think Danielson has to be world champion going into Wrestle Dream anyway. So that's where I'm at with it. And I think I'm not ready to say goodbye to Danielson.
No, not at all.
But like, you'll never really be ready. And I don't think he's going to be gone, but he's going to be mostly gone, which I'm so sad about. But Christian, either way, I think Christian ruining Danielson's goodbye, or Christian screwing over Swerve, who just fought Hangman to get back here. Either one, I think, is good. I don't know if he actually does it. I don't know if Christian holds on to this thing for as long as he can. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But the idea that any world champion is going to have to contend with the fact that Christian Cage, you know, notorious manipulator, cheater, all those kind of things, is like on their shoulder lurking behind them. Like, I love that.
Again, the chaos.
I love the chaos. I love when wrestling, like, when the promotion feels a little bit more unstable. Like, I don't like it to be so regimented. I love the idea that Christian Cage could attack anybody at any time. And I love the idea that any wrestler can challenge anybody else. And I love when there's all different moving parts and everybody feels like kind of like in one chaotic environment. I don't like when it's like, you are in your lane and you will stay in your lane, and you are in your lane. And I don't like all of that. I love everybody to feel chaos. Period.
End of story.
Chaos is king, Mike. You're right.
I really like what's going on with both companies. I think that both WWE and even TNA and, you know, everyone else, I just feel like there's a lot going on that is for everybody. Mm-hmm. After watching Bachelor in Berlin, to me, it reminded me like, oh, I feel like I've grown out of the WWE style of wrestling and how they book the shows, but I didn't hate it. And having Gunther, like specifically Gunther, that match, I'm not sure if you saw it or anything about it, but the Gunther match yesterday was just Gunther versus Randy Orton. I mean, if you want to watch something that, in the perspective of, okay, a lot of these pay-per-views or PLEs or whatever you want to call them in another country, because I only know one style of, you know, crowds, right? I know no reaction and I know reaction. I'm so unfamiliar with how Bash in Berlin and people in the UK specifically, how they react at like other sporting events, because I don't watch them. But hearing the context of some of the chants that they were doing got me excited about, oh, okay, we are on the right track of having some of these pay-per-views for all different promotions in other countries, because, you know, we did hear that Grand Slam is going to be in Australia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to do Forbidden Door in London next year. Having those different fan bases and how they react. We're going to have Dynasty in Japan. It's different styles of participation, because I love crowd participation. I think being part of it makes you feel like it's more than just watching it on your TV. Just kind of learning the different styles did make me emotional yesterday, because I didn't understand why For instance, the crowd was doing the wave during the Gunther Randy Orton match, and I was like, this seems really disrespectful, because in the US, if you do the wave, it means that there's nothing going on. But apparently I was educated real quick that, like, doing that and some of the chants that they were doing at the start of that match wasn't disrespectful. That's just what how they participate at their other sports. So I don't know. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about AEW kind of changing up the pattern of, you know, which shows are going where, having All In Texas in July, moving Grand Slam around? What do you think about that?
I think it's much needed, because AEW, they're really loyal to a few markets, and I think it's kind of hurt them in some ways. And so I think mixing it up and allowing AEW as a brand to be more international, and, like, especially with the introduction of the Australia show, their participation in Japan, all the kind of stuff, I think they've needed it. And I think, I mean, I did not watch Bash of Berlin. I only watched Jade and Bianca. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
That's okay.
I don't watch WWE, but I do think, I do think AEW sort of expanding internationally is great. And what I really like about these different crowds is, like, European fans are a different flavor to American fans, who are different from, like, fans in Mexico, who are different from fans in Japan. And I think you kind of, the shows feel a little bit different when you have different fans. And, like, I really like in Europe, their chants we don't hear in the US.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a learning experience, because I don't watch, like, European football or European sports or anything. So I don't hear that. Like, I don't have that cultural element. So that's been really interesting for me.
Yeah.
And I think European fans are just as rowdy as American fans. It's just a little bit different. I think fans in Mexico are also rowdy, but also a little bit different. And, you know, Japanese fans, it's like a very respectful sort of thing. So if they do get loud or, you know, react loudly, that kind of stuff, like, it's really, really good, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's like a different cultural thing. So I've really enjoyed seeing AEW experiment in that way. And I'm excited for the Australia show, because I think Australia, New Zealand, it's kind of like an underserved market where, WWE has done some stuff there. But I think those fans, there's a lot of wrestling fans there, and there's a lot of indie wrestlers there who, because they're so far away geographically, like, they feel disconnected from the West, you know, North America and Europe. And so I'm excited to see how AEW does there. And I'm excited to see what the fans are like. I'm excited about all of it. And I think it'll be good, because the more international shows AEW does, the more fresh markets that they're operating in. And I think when they eventually return shows to the US, if they return some of these big shows to the US, like, the American fans aren't worn out from going to all these pay-per-views and, like, in the same markets over and over and over again. So I'm excited about it. And I like that they've now, it's clear that All In is not tied to the UK. All In can be anywhere. And there's a certain amount of excitement to that, because it's like, ooh, it's like when people speculate about where WrestleMania is going to be or where SummerSlam is going to be, like, that's this. Like, it's not a guarantee it's going to be in London at Wembley. So that's why I'm excited.
I mean, I heard rumblings that Double or Nothing is not going to be in Vegas this year because of WrestleMania, which
Double or Nothing, I think it's been in Vegas for so long, and I think that we're at the point kind of diminishing returns. Because I think they get a large traveling crowd because it's Vegas and there's more stuff to do, all that kind of stuff. But I think you kind of wear out a market to some extent. And I think they're kind of in that space with Chicago as well, or Hoffman Estates with All Out. So,
poor Now Arena.
The Now Arena is such a good arena too. It's just, it's such a bad spot. It's such a bad spot. But I think that AEW is getting a little bit more experimental. And I think that because TV rights, which has not been announced, but I'm expecting that it's going to be, you know, pretty significant.
Soon. Yeah.
I think that they have a little more confidence in experimenting with sort of, with shows and pacing and all that kind of stuff. And their pay-per-views are still selling a lot of buys. So regardless of what people will tell you about viewership and ratings, like, well, actually, I don't care. Because the pay-per-view buys are doing okay.
Yes!
Okay. I don't care. My enjoyment, just, I don't want to rant about ratings. So I'm just going to say your enjoyment of something should not depend on how many hundred thousands of other people are enjoying it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But Bash at Berlin, I heard people say it was good. They enjoyed things about it, whatever. My favorite part, I watched highlights of Jade and Bianca because I love them. I love Jade. I'll always love Jade. Big mm-hmm. Jade supporter, big Bianca supporter. And so I'm excited about them. I really am.
I am.
Something about Jade and Bianca being absolute winners. Period. Period. That's all you need.
I mean, they're going to do the most WWE thing of having your tag team be awesome, and then they start feuding, and then they're gonna resolve their feud at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that's, and we need to see heel Bianca, because it's what we need.
It's what the people want.
It's what the people want. Yeah, there's a lot of cool things going on with wrestling. Did you happen to catch any of TNA on Friday?
I did not.
I will admit I put it on and kind of was dozing off doing other things. Anytime there's an Ultimate X match though, here's my thing. Talk about a company that, takes chances on things that don't sound like they would be a good idea, but end up being a good idea. Like the King and Queen of the Mountain or whatever. And the Ultimate X match is just so stupid and so TNA. I was really upset that they took the belt off Speedball, because he literally just got it. Mm-hmm. But I understand that they need it, because Zachary Wentz is going up against Wesley. And NXT, which NXT is doing great, seeing so much about Joe Hendry and people actually like digging out. This is the thing that I love about wrestling, is that Joe Hendry has been around for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watched Ring of Honor, even a couple of years ago, Joe Hendry was in Ring of Honor. And you see that version of Joe Hendry start to manifest, right? What he's doing now. But I just love that people are actually going through the tapes. I say it going through the tapes like I'm an old person. Going through YouTube or going through old things, or, hey, I caught this match on Honor Club or whatever. Like, that makes me excited, because I also do that. Prepping for other things, I like watching different things in different mediums, whether YouTube, whether Peacock, whether, you know, whatever. I just love wrestling. And mm-hmm. I really liked TNA on Friday. I like that their pay-per-views are on Friday, because after a long, long freaking week, at least for me, I like settling in with a nice little cocktail and sitting down and watching wrestling and just relaxing. But mm-hmm. yeah. It was a good show. And Josh Alexander, why hasn't he gotten the NXT rub? Like, we think he should, because.
Yeah, TNA is one of the only places where you can get away with wacky stuff like Ultimate X, and it becomes like
mm-hmm.
a staple and yeah. something that people look forward to. But Josh Alexander and Speedball, for that matter. Mm-hmm. They're two people that I always thought should be bigger deals than they are. Like, I think sometimes people get kind of stuck in the TNA realm where they don't really cross over into like the WWE AEW scene. Josh Alexander is one of the few exceptions where I think most wrestling fans, if you're like a fan of wrestling, you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
If he could wrestle in front of two people in, I don't know, Oklahoma or something, and it'd be on Twitter because fans want to know about it. But I fully expect that the NXT sort of collaboration will produce some sort of benefit for someone like Josh Alexander. I'm not really like so completely sold on them working together, because I'll save those thoughts for that's another.
That's another day. Yeah, that's another that's fine. Day.
But I will say that TNA is doing a lot of really great stuff, and I'm not understanding why more people aren't watching, because I hear people critique WWE for things or critique AW for things, and then I see TNA. You would like TNA.
Yeah.
Like, I look at these people and I'm like, well, why? Because it's always people who only watch WWE or only watch AEW. And I'm like, TNA is doing the type of wrestling that you like.
Right.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Is there anything else we want to talk about before we've been here for an hour and a half, and I just realized.
I know. That's what happens when you get us going. My only thing that I want to say is that wrestling was crazy this week, and I think this past week it was crazy. I think this coming week with All Out lurking and, you know, things really heating up, I think it's going to be even crazier. So I'm excited.
I'm excited as well. As I mentioned, I usually host it just because, you know, out of all of my friends, I feel like I have the most seating, maybe. but I am viewing it at my best friend's house, and we're going to eat sushi beforehand, which I'm very excited. But I'm just excited for what's to come. Not even just All Out. Going into Wrestle Dream, going into, well, Bad Blood is coming up for WWE, you know, falling into Full Gear, which I love Full Gear. Full Gear is such a sleeper, because people go, you know, they prefer the all-ins, they prefer the double or nothings, maybe even Revolution, because, you know, whatever. Full Gear is, I think, perfection. It's always perfection for me. I say that now and someone's gonna go on the chat being like, what about this match that happened 3 years ago? I don't care. I love full gear.
Well, actually.
I think the more matches that we put on the card, the more that we push these new talents and fantasy book, it only projects what 2025 is going to be, which is going to be fucking amazing. Yeah. So I'm into it. Let's just all say prayers that there are no more injuries, though, because it's kind of ruining my fantasy booking.
I hate when people get injured, because obviously injuries suck. And
yeah,
on a human level, like human to human empathy, I really feel for them, especially if it's something super serious. And then also injuries, they just like, it's part of the sport, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. But it's always when they get injured on the most mundane moves.
I know. And I'm like Adam Cole jumping off the platform and he's been out for over a year now. Like,
and like every CM Punk injury that happened in AW. Dog.
I'm sorry.
I had to bring it up.
I know. It's fine. It happens. I mean, oh my God. We haven't even talked about how Athena hit. She'll hit Samoa Joe's record at the end of the month.
We need to dedicate in a future episode, like 45 minutes talking about Ring of Honor, because Athena is doing, like, in my opinion, some of the best work in Ring of Honor.
She is the show.
And she, like, nobody's talking about it.
I know. Because they're all cowards.
We need to, like, yeah, We'll talk about it.
Let us know in the chat what your favorite Athena matches have been. And if you haven't watched any Athena matches, be honest, because we want to know. Because
I think the tide, I of course, like, I'm speculating. I have no knowledge about the AW media deal. I am not a journalist. But what I will say is I do think Ring of Honor will be more accessible somewhere at some point.
Yeah.
Where, because I think it's just, it's too valuable for it not to be, right? So I don't know if it'll be on Max or if it'll be like, but I think Honor Club, I think having to buy Honor Club is what is making people not want to watch. So
it is a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, $10 for 30 days, right? It is a commitment, because if I did not watch Ring of Honor, would I truly use it? Because I do go through spurts of like, oh, I want to watch this old, you know, old pay-per-view, or I want to watch Samoa Joe dominate. So there's a whole Samoa Joe like section for me that's just like all Samoa Joe matches. So take it what you will. It is $10. But I would agree. And I'm hoping that however AEW is packaged with this, you know, this deal, that Ring of Honor is included, because more eyes on the product is not a bad idea. So, okay.
Do you want to do your plugs and tell the people where they can find you?
Sure. So, hi, I'm Auntie Collins. If you didn't know, and if you can't read, it's okay. I don't discriminate if you can't read, because sometimes words are hard. I am over on all social media, Twitter, Instagram. I'm really trying to beef up my Instagram. Kimmy is telling me I need to post more over on Instagram, because my Instagram is bleh. But I'll be posting more over there now. I'm on TikTok and Threads, which Threads is so fun because it is just a plethora of what I wanted Twitter to be, but without the trolls, which is awesome. Go find me on all my social media. I am over on our local establishment on Thursday evenings talking about Ring of Honor. So if you like Ring of Honor and you want to talk about Ring of Honor, that's where I'll be at. And then I have a new show that's called Collins on the Rocks on Saturday mornings. I think that's kind of what we've done for the last couple weeks, where we either predict wrestling or we just are going to talk about non-wrestling things and have a drink and enjoy our lives. And then I'm here every Sunday crying about wrestling with the lovely Kylie.
You can find me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. If you're in Brazil, you don't have Twitter anymore. I'll figure something out, because Twitter is now banned in Brazil.
What?
Yeah, because so basically Brazil asked Twitter to ban 7 accounts for spreading misinformation, which is illegal in Brazil, and Twitter didn't do it. So the Brazilian Supreme Court said Twitter is now banned in Brazil. So that's like 200 million people. And I know that they made up like a pretty significant chunk of Twitter users. So if that's you, I'm going to figure something out, because all my social media except for Twitter is private. So I might make another Threads account, and that we can just have like me and the Brazilians on Threads. I don't know. But I think it's unfair that you have to be now excluded from IWC. So we'll figure something out. So if that's you, next week I'll have something and we'll plug it. It'll be good. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. I'll talk about wrestling. Lately, I've been talking a lot about my extreme love of all things AEW. And also, I've been talking about TV shows that I like. Because I for the longest time, it never was a factor in my social media. But I'm a really big fan of like film and TV as an art form. So talk about that. We'll talk about some other stuff. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Yeah. It's been interesting, because I like came back from summer and I was like, Twitter's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting place. But yeah, if you're currently one of the millions who are banned from Twitter just for being Brazilian, we'll figure something out. We'll sort it out. We'll figure it out. We'll do something. I don't know. I think it sucks. because I like not to like make us go too long, but a lot of my favorite fan accounts or like film analysis accounts where they were like, surprise, I'm Brazilian. This is my goodbye. I have 24 hours. And I think that sucks. It sucks.
That does suck. What the heck?
Oh, you can also see me every Sunday here at noon on Fightful Overbooked. This is Fightful Overbooked. There's a lot of content here. If you go to the playlist, there's wrestling content, non-wrestling content, news content, all sorts of stuff. So go check that out. Go follow people. And yeah, every Sunday at noon, me and Collins here. Wrestling Made Me Cry, where we talk about the positive things that we like in wrestling, the good times. All that being said, unless you have something else to say.
Nothing else.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. It was an absolute blast to talk to you and catch up on this like crazy week in wrestling. We'll see you guys next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
The pay-per-view. Yeah.
The we're pay-per-view's not on Saturday. The
pay-per-view this time. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.